We look for heroes today. A lot of people look for heroes. They look for people to emulate, younger people and old alike. Look for individuals to emulate. When I think of Joshua, I can't think of a better individual in the Old Testament to emulate. I'm hard-pressed to find anything negative said about him. And so this evening, we're going to encourage ourselves to dare to stand like Joshua. What did he stand for? What did he do? And there are some important lessons here. And what I've done this evening is, rather than just maybe looking at some miscellaneous points about Joshua, we're actually going to use the book of Joshua as our outline this evening. We're going to look at the major sections of the book of Joshua. If you're taking notes, you're going to end up seeing the four main divisions of the book of Joshua. And it's those four main divisions that give us our four main points this evening, and then we're going to add that point on the end with regard to Joshua and his household. But the book of Joshua becomes a great outline for us to understand what it was that Joshua did. And we need to dare to stand like him. In our scripture reading, Moses asked the Lord, "Can you appoint a man?" And we need that today. We need men and women who are going to lead. Appoint a man who will lead Israel, who will go in and go out. We need someone who will stand up. We need someone who will stand for what is right. And the text said there in Numbers that Joshua had the Spirit of God within him. We need men and women whose own personal spirit is aligned with God's spirit. And we need to be like Joshua. In the church, in the home, in society. As I was singing this song some time ago, I thought, well, what is it exactly that we're to stand for? And as I began to think about the book of Joshua, these points came to my mind. And when I think of this individual, I think about how that he stood out. And we need to stand out from our contemporaries. It's easy to fit in. It's easy just to go along and, well, I'm just going to be like all the kids at school. I'm going to be like all my coworkers. I'm going to be like all my neighbors in my neighborhood. I'm going to be like all religions. It's easy just to slump into this routine where we're just like everybody else. And yet we find that Joshua stood out from his contemporaries. Even. And we need to do the same this evening, and we're going to learn how that we can do that. Our role models do not need to come from Hollywood, and they don't need to come from sports, and they don't need to come from the music industry. And our heroes today and our role models do not need to come from other areas of society. They need to come from God's Word, where we have men and women who there is an infallible report given of them, and we can learn how to live right in the sight of God. Another thing about Joshua that is interesting and that we're going to notice this evening is that he developed a character while he was young that helped him to serve the Lord in his old age. When we come to the book of Joshua, he had already been living the way that he needed to live. And so you're going to notice this evening in the lesson that as we look at some points in the book of Joshua, I put on the PowerPoint this evening those references to his early years. His early years made him what he was that we read about in the book of Joshua. And young people, you need to be developing your character now. Don't think, well, I'm just going to wait till my 20s or my 30s and then I'm going to get into really serving the Lord. The preteen and the teenage group and the early college age, this is the time when you're deciding whether or not you're going to follow the Lord or not. And not only that, but the things that you develop now in your character, they will help you in your older age to be the kind of person that you need to be. We don't wait until we're older and then we just take a pill, you know, and all of a sudden we become, you know, faithful. We don't just read a book or a blog or a text or an email. Hey, I'm going to start being faithful today. It's developed early in life. Well, I'm just going to be a great parent or a great spouse, and I'm going to be a great Christian in the church, and I'll just start, you know, maybe when I'm in my 40s, and I'll just, you know, turn a light switch and it'll all be fine. No, we start now. So this evening, I want you to notice as we go through the material, not only these major sections of the book of Joshua, but I want you to notice the scriptures this evening for each of those points that go back to the book of Exodus, or that go back to the book of Numbers, or the book of Deuteronomy. Things that are mentioned about the younger Joshua as he's going through the wilderness. And you're going to notice that those principles in this man are the principles that he is now using while he's out on his own leading Israel. We've got to develop that as early in life as we can. And parents, we've got to help our children develop these characteristics as early in life as we can, or maybe if we're now working on our grandchildren. Let's dare to stand like Joshua. Now let me go through the major divisions of the book, and then we will come back one by one and look at them in detail. What does it mean to dare to stand like Joshua? Well, first of all, it means that we dare to be a leader when other people won't lead. To dare to be a leader when other people won't lead. There are people who won't lead, and I'm not talking about the elders in the church. I will talk about some leadership roles in just a moment, but I'm not focusing in on that. I'm talking about men and women leading as Christians, being out in front. Everybody wants to be a follower. Everybody today wants to hang back and, well, I'll let somebody else do it, and I'm scared, and I'm not sure, and I don't want to be the one out in the front. And we're having a leadership crisis today in the church and in the home and other places. Well, brother so-and-so will do it, or sister so-and-so will do it. I'm going to hang back. We need to lead, and we need to dare to be a leader when other people won't lead. There will always be people in life that won't lead. Don't let that be you or me. To dare to stand like Joshua means to dare to fight battles when other people won't fight. Now, fighting's hard. Fighting is hard. And whether you're talking about physical battles, which I've never been in the military, some of you may have been in that, and we have brethren in the military. I've never been in that. But that's going to be hard, but spiritual battles as well are hard to fight. And so some people just won't fight them. I'll let somebody else do that. I'll let somebody else do the hard work. To dare to stand like Joshua means to dare to fight battles when other people won't. And we'll see that. And then when you get to the middle part of the book, to dare to stand like Joshua means to dare to carry out God's will when other people will not. Well, I don't want to obey, or it's too hard, or I'm busy, I've got stuff I need to do. When we get over to chapter 13, we're going to see that Joshua is old and he still had some work that had to be done. He couldn't go into retirement mode. Well, I've fought a bunch of battles. I'm just going to retire now and coast the rest of my life. Chapter 13, verse 1, God says, wait a minute now, I've got some more work for you. And Joshua said, okay, sign me up. To dare to stand like Joshua means that we're going to fulfill God's commandments and word for us all throughout our life, even when we get older. And then last of all, to dare to stand like Joshua as we get down toward the end of the book means that we dare to say what needs to be said when other people keep quiet. Joshua gathered the Israelites together on more than one occasion, and he said some things to them that was difficult to say. We would call it stepping on people's toes. But he loved them and he cared for them, and before he died, he wanted to make sure that the ship was going in the right direction, so to speak. And so he said what needed to be said of a spiritual nature. He didn't talk about the weather, and he didn't talk about who won the ball game, and he didn't talk about the stock market and those kind of things. He talked about things that are of utmost importance, and that is being right with God. And so those are the four main divisions of the book of Joshua. Now we're going to add in, like our song that we just sang, we're going to add in this last point, which is kind of a sub-point of chapter 24, and that is that we need to dare to be different when others go along with the crowd. And the chorus of our song this evening focuses in on that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's look this evening at Joshua. When we sing this song, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, let's go out and practice that. But what does that mean? That's what we want to look at this evening. What all is involved in that? Come back with me now to Joshua chapter 1. To dare to stand like Joshua is to dare to be a leader when others will not lead. Whether due to laziness, whether due to fear, whether due to ineptness or lack of training or I don't care, we've got to be a leader. Joshua 1 and verse 1, now it came to pass after the death of Moses, who's going to take his place? We're not in Canaan yet. We still have to cross the Jordan River. We're not in Canaan yet. Who's going to take Moses' place and lead this group, and as in Numbers 27, so that they don't end up being sheep without a shepherd? Who's going to do that? Not me, I'm busy. Well, I got work, you know. I've got family, and I've got this, and I've got that. I can't. No, somebody's got to take the spot. Moses is dead, the servant of Jehovah. That Jehovah spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, we're going to come back to that. You underscore that in your Bible, Moses' minister. We're going to come back to that. In his early life, he had developed this service mentality, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them. Even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given, as I spake to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, the Mediterranean, shall be your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the rest of the few verses there up through verse 9 is the commendation to stay with the word of God. Don't depart from it to the right hand or the left. Observe God's word. But when it came time for Joshua to step up and be a leader, we find that he had already been doing that. You find these passages in Numbers and in Deuteronomy where it had already been told that he was going to be doing this. He was developing himself early in life, and he had God's Spirit on him. We need to be like that. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Not in some mysterious, mystical, you know, better felt than told way, but let God's Spirit rule and reign in us, His Word completely take over us. And that's the kind of man Joshua was, and he ended up leading. Well, what did he do? Well, when you look at Joshua 1 through 5, you find things such as this. You find that, first of all, he was supposed to have God's Word in him and meditate on the Word of God day and night and not depart from it to the right hand or to the left, and be courageous and be prosperous and be strong and of courage and don't be afraid. We find that God's Word is in him. The law of Moses is in him. Good leaders in the home and other places, in the church, men and women. I'm using leadership in a very broad sense here. To be out in the front, taking the lead on what you say and do, not hanging back. It starts with God's Word in our lives. And he sent out the two spies in chapter 2, and he helped the Israelites cross the Jordan in chapter 3 and 4. And those who were not circumcised yet in chapter 5, he made sure that they were circumcised and that Passover was kept. We've got things like that, brethren, today that we've got to be busy doing. There's things in the Lord's church that have to be done. There's things of a personal Christian nature that have to be done. And we need leaders who will step up and dare to stand like Joshua and be a leader. Can you imagine taking on that weight of leading this big nation into Canaan land? Can you imagine the weight of that? And that's why many people don't do it today. Oh, it's too weighty. It's too hard. It's too hard to be a good parent. It's too hard to be a good Christian. It's too hard to be active in the church. And so we just quit. Dare to be a leader. Young people, dare to lead your contemporaries and those around you. Don't be the follower. Be the leader. I think I told you before that I had a band director in high school that had a plaque in the front of the band hall. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. I love it. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And so many people are just in the way. Some people are good followers, and that's great. But if you're not going to follow, at least lead. And if you're not going to do that, get out of the way. You're causing a problem. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And I want us to be leaders. And that's what we find here in this book. You know, there's a number of places in the New Testament that illustrate this, but in preparation for this lesson, I just simply thought of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. How much in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus deals with leadership? We commonly think of those books as preacher books, and they do focus in on that, Timothy and Titus being ministers of the Word. But you'll find in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, leadership in the eldership, and then a few verses later, the deacons. Young Christians in chapter 4 and verse 12, being an example in word and in deed and love and faith and purity. Young people being leaders. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, all Christians being taught the word of God and then turning around and teaching that to others. Titus 2, 1, the older folks and the older women training the younger women. That's leadership. Let's not say, brethren, somebody else in the church will do that. Brother so-and-so will be the leader for this. Sister so-and-so, we can always count on her. Let's not have that approach. Let's take the approach that I'm going to be the leader. You're not going to have to ask me to be out there. I'm already going to be out there. You don't have to ask me to lead. I'm already going to be out there in some way. In my home, in the church, in my community, somewhere else, you're not going to have to ask me to lead. I'm already going to be out there, Lord. That's what it means to dare to stand like Joshua. Turn with me now to Joshua chapter 6. To dare to stand like Joshua means that we dare to fight battles when other people won't fight. It is so disconcerting sometimes that we can't get our brethren to help us fight. How many people want to go out on a battlefield by themselves? Raise your hand. I just want to go out there by themselves. I don't want anybody to help me. I don't want any support. I don't want any fellow soldiers. I just want to fight the whole enemy myself. Nobody wants to do that. And when we have to fight the devil, we want to fight with each other. We want to, not with each other, alongside each other. We want to fight alongside each other. Let's all enter into that fight together. Of course, we know when we come to Joshua chapter 6 through 12, we have the battle section of Joshua, starting with the well-known Battle of Jericho, and then Ai and these other things. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 11, when a summary is given in Joshua chapter 11 and then Joshua chapter 12. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. And Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim in the hill country from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did some remain. So look at this. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that Jehovah spake unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land had rest from war. A part of going into the Canaan land was to conquer the Canaanites. A part of that was judgment on their sin. And it took a battle-ready man to do that. When it came time for the Battle of Jericho, Joshua was no newcomer to fighting battles. You can look back when he was young in Exodus 17 on the way to Mount Sinai. They fought with Amalekites, and Joshua was one of the main fighters there. Young people, if you don't start fighting battles now, you're not going to be able to fight them later. You're not. We've got to start fighting battles now. It could be the battles involving temptation. It could be the battles standing for truth. It could be the battles standing against error. There's a number of kinds of battles. And so in Joshua chapter 6 through 12, we find that he fought a central campaign, 6 through 8, a southern campaign, 9 through 12, and then in the northern regions. And then a summary of that is given in chapter 12. Joshua didn't say, I'm scared. It's too hard. Fighting's too hard. Of course fighting's hard. Of course fighting temptation and standing for truth. Sometimes it's hard, but it's not just for preachers. It's not just for elders. It's not just for certain ones. It's for all of us. All of us have spiritual battles that have to be fought. We don't fight with flesh and blood, 2 Corinthians 10. We're not fighting physical battles in the Lord's kingdom. They did in this particular situation, but not today in the church. We're fighting spiritual battles, of course. That's what we're talking about. And that's the kind of person we need to be. We need to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. Not be a pushover. Not raise the white flag. Well, I quit. Devil wins. I quit. And in a local church, you have to fight. You have to fight for your local church. When it appears that division is going to be getting it, and again, we want the elders to do that, and I believe that they will. But all of us, we have to fight for the local church. If division is trying to rear its ugly head, or false teaching is trying to rear its ugly head, we have to fight in our own personal lives. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it might be, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to fight for our children. We need to fight for our marriages. We need to fight for the lost. We've been praying today, and I appreciate Bob praying this morning and the prayer this evening, including the work in Ghana with regard to spreading the gospel to the lost. We need to fight the good fight of the faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. And we need to be soldiers, 2 Timothy 2:3-4, that do not entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. If you're out trying to fight your own personal battle, you don't want me beside you all caught up in the world. Chris is not going to help you much if we're just all caught up in the world. So we're going to be a soldier. We're going to fight the good fight of the faith. We're not going to be entangled in the affairs of this life. That we may please Him, Christ, who enrolled us, and we're going to fight. Because our eternal destiny depends upon it. And what a great example Joshua is. And one other thing, and then I need to move along. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 10, the well-known sun standing still. Let me tell you something, brethren. When you are fighting your battles, don't ever hesitate to go to God and ask for big things and make big suggestions. Joshua 10:12. Then spake Joshua to Jehovah. This is Joshua speaking to Jehovah. This is Joshua speaking to God in the day when Jehovah delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still. Read that again. Who's telling who what? Joshua is telling God in front of Israel, by the way. Number one, you're telling God. Number two, you're doing it in front of all Israel. What kind of faith is that? Sun, stand still. I'm not suggesting, my point this evening is not that if you do the same thing that that's going to happen. That's not my point. My point is ask big. There may be something really big out there that has to be taken care of. You go to God and ask big. And God granted that and the sun stood still as they could continue to fight and win that battle. Dare to fight battles when others will not. I don't even have time this evening to talk about all the people who aren't fighting.
All the people in the world that have given up, they've just raised their white flag. Woo, the devil's going to beat me. I'm just resolved to that. And people in the church have given up. And people in the world have given up. I don't even have time to talk about all those people.
But you don't do that. All the parents that have given up. All the Christians that have given up. Joshua didn't give up. And when he found out, in Joshua chapter 7, when he found out why they were defeated at Ai, and that there was sin in the camp, and some was not following the word of God, they cleared that up, they cleaned that up, and in chapter 8, they won the victory. There may be a situation where in our own personal lives, we're not winning those battles. Clear it up and clean it up, and then we'll get back to being victorious. But dare to fight those battles. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 13. As we move through the book, we're learning what it means to stand like Joshua. Number three, it means to dare to carry out God's will when others will not. There's all kinds of people today who will not carry out the word of God. That's their business. That's their choice. It's to their own spiritual ruin, but they won't do it. You continue to do what God wants you to do, even as we get older. Look at this. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. This is after all the battles. As if that wasn't enough. This is after all the battles. The text says, Joshua was old and well stricken in years. Well, now it's time for me to retire. I'm going to retire in the church. No. Jehovah said unto him, thou art old and well stricken in years. In other words, God knows that you're old. You don't have to tell God that. He knows that. So I want you to retire. No. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remained. All the regions of the Philistines and all the Geshurites and all of these different things, all the different places, then come down to verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. I just won all your battles. I just want to take a break. No, serving God is all throughout our life. We don't get midlife and retire. We don't get in our 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and retire. We keep going. And so, we find this very thing. That he divided the land in chapter 13 through 19. And he appointed cities of refuge in chapter 20. And cities for the Levites in chapter 21. God says, I'm not, you're old and well stricken in years. That's right. But I'm not done with you. I've got some things I need you to do. And I love how earlier in life, look at Exodus 33 and Numbers 34, Joshua is described as Moses' minister. He had learned early in life to be a servant and to work hard and to help others and do things. And young people, please learn that early in life. I believe even in the Lord's church, I'm a little concerned that we're going to have some problems moving forward if our younger generation doesn't learn to get active and be working. We can't always just let mom and dad do it or the older brethren do it. One day they're going to pass from this life. Who's going to take over and keep the local church going? I beg the young people, boys and girls, young men and young women to be ministers, to serve others. Joshua was Moses' minister. And there were probably some things early on that he was doing that he may have felt was some menial task, and this is not a whole lot going on here. But it trained him to do what God wants done. And as parents, as much as we can get our young people active with us, that's very important. As much as we can take our children with us to do things. Yes, even cleaning the church building. I remember as a kid being drugged down to the church building, sweeping the carpet, cleaning the toilets. 12 years old, cleaning the toilets. as parents, let me encourage us to do that. Just hey, I want you to come with me and do such and such. Why? We're trying to get them involved. We're trying to teach them. We're trying to show them hands-on. They don't just mystically and magically start doing stuff later in life. They've done that because they're young. Look, it's more important than scrolling on your phone. Believe me. It's more important than playing video games. Learning, we're developing character, and work and service is a part of character, and fighting, being able and willing to fight, that's a part of character, and leading others and being out in front and saying, hey, come this way, saying and doing, that's a part of character, and we develop that hopefully early on. If we don't, it's probably not going to happen. It is possible that later in life we can make some changes, and I've seen things like that, but it's typically because we learn it early on. So dare to carry out God's word and God's will. Some of this was difficult. Tracing out the tribal boundaries, going over here, and this person gets this, and this tribe gets that, and here's your boundary, and I'm sure Joshua felt, look, I've been spending years in battle. I just want to take a break. God says, there remaineth much land. There's more work to do. And so I'm reminded of those who are eventually going to be in heaven. Those who are eventually going to be in heaven are those who have been busy following God's will and God's commands. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, here is the patience of the saints, talking about those who are going to be in heaven, they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then turn back with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. I thought about this in preparation for this lesson. Revelation 12, 17. Have you ever asked yourself, who does the devil go after? You ever ask yourself that? Who does the devil go after? I don't know if I ever thought about that. Well, think about that. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. We'll see who the devil goes after. You know, the devil, I don't think the devil goes after people that he's already got. So, the weak and worldly Christian, or the, you know, lukewarm, half-hearted Christian, the bench warmer, the pew warmer, the one that's got sin in their lives. I don't really know if the devil is even going after those people. I know that he's going after these people. And the dragon in chapter 12 is the devil. He grew wroth with the woman, that is Israel, who gave birth to Jesus and then eventually the New Testament church, and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, who? That keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. That's who the devil's going after. He's not going after you and I if we're not living right. He's not going after us. He's already got us. He's going after the people who keep the commandments of God. That's how you know if the devil is going after you. If you're keeping the commandments of God, the devil's going after you. If you're not, he's already got you, so he's not going after you anymore. And so we've got to keep the commandments of God. And those are the ones who end up in heaven. And that is all our life. Joshua was old and well stricken in years, but he had to keep doing God's will. And then turn with me to Joshua chapter 22 through 24. We need to dare to say what needs to be said when others will not say it. And this is a hard one. It's easy to keep our mouth shut. It's easy not to say things because that exposes us, or we step on people's toes, or we become unpopular, or we drive people away, or we don't make friends this way. But notice in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 1, when the land had rest, in the latter part of chapter 21, it's a beautiful statement about how that God kept all of His promises, the land promise, and the nation promise, Ultimately, the seed promise will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And by the way, premillennialism has it wrong. God has already given Israel their land. He's already given them their nation. That's not something that's off in the future. There failed not aught of any good thing which Jehovah had spoken. Last part of chapter 11. And when this land is now divided up and the cities have been allotted and there's rest from war and there's rest and peace in the land, look at what we find. Joshua called all the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded you, and have hearkened unto my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days, but have kept the charge of the commandment of Jehovah your God. And now Jehovah your God hath given rest unto your brethren. And he spake unto them, therefore now turn ye and get you into your tents under the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, gave you beyond the Jordan. You people who are going to live on the eastern side of the Jordan, you're about to go over there. I've got one. I need to say some things to you. Now, he could have just left that alone. He could have just said, look, we got this done. Y'all go on your merry way. You don't want to hear a sermon, you know, right before you go home. Nobody wants to hear a sermon, right? He could have had that. He said, look, I want you to be faithful. Verse 5. Only take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded you, to love Jehovah your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Dare to say to others what needs to be said. And it's hard sometimes. Dare to say that to a child, to a parent, to a spouse, to a loved one. Say what needs to be said. Oh, it's hard, Brother Reeves. Yes, it's hard. It's unpopular. Yes, sometimes it is. But it's what helps people keep being faithful. It might bring someone back to the Lord. And notice, as I said earlier, he's not talking about the weather and sports and economics and this and that. He's talking about serve the Lord and keep his commandments. That's what the generation around us needs to hear. Is it hard? Yes. Is it awkward sometimes and uncomfortable? Yes, I've been there many times. Maybe you have as well. Is it easy to keep quiet? Yes. Well, some matters go on with regard to those living across the Jordan. And we come back to chapter 23 now in verse 1. It came to pass after many days when Jehovah had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. And Joshua was old and well stricken in years. We saw that back in chapter 13 and verse 1. He hadn't gotten any younger. More work to do. What is it this time? To talk with my brethren and encourage them to be right. Look at verse 2. That Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said, I am old and well stricken in years. Here goes Joshua again, preaching another sermon. We all got to gather together and hear him say some more stuff. He loved them, and he wanted them to be right with God. And that's what a true leader does. And so he does the same type of thing. After talking about the greatness of God, we come down to verse 8, cleave unto Jehovah your God, as you have done unto this day. For Jehovah hath driven out from before you the great nations. Verse 11, take good heed, therefore, that you love Jehovah your God. And the same type of thing, if you keep reading there, follow his commandments. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Anybody can talk about the weather and sports and stuff like that, but that's not going to help someone go to heaven. And I would love to talk about that only, but that's not reality. So whoever it is in our life that needs that message from us, let's do that before it's too late. And then you come to chapter 24 and verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, your fathers dwelt. And he goes into the same thing, the same thing. Verse 14, fear Jehovah and serve him with all sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods and so forth. It's the same thing. Brethren, when it means to stand like Joshua, it means that we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, to those who need it. We pray that we would open our mouth with wisdom, that we know how we ought to speak, Colossians 4:5. And that we are ready to give an answer to those around us, 1 Peter 3:15. But we've got to say what needs to be said to the person who doesn't attend like they should. To the person who's not living right, to the person who's living in sin or has worldliness in their life. We want to go to heaven. We want someone to say things to us to help us go to heaven. We need to say things to others to help them go to heaven. Is it uncomfortable? We need to say things. If something is not true in the Scripture with regard to baptism or other kinds of things, we have to bring to the attention of individuals what the truth is on those matters. That's what it means to dare to stand like Joshua. And let's do that. And then last of all, as we sing in the song, to be different. Based on verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We live in a culture of go along and get along. We live in a culture of just go along with the crowd. And Joshua was not going to do that. Joshua was going to make sure that he and his family served the Lord regardless of what the other Israelites were doing. We're going to stop this idolatry thing. And we know from the book of Judges that after Joshua died, in the generation around him, there arose a generation that knew not God, and they get right into idolatry. How quickly a vacuum and a void is filled. A good thing, when it's gone, how quickly bad fills that void. And so, to be like Joshua, we're going to be different. We're going to go to school and work and other places. We're going to be a faithful Christian. And as parents, we're going to raise our children to be faithful Christians. And you know what? Look at Numbers 24:15. Did Joshua decide on that day? You know, I'm getting down toward the end. I'm old and toward the end of my life. You know, I want to start. I'm just going to make it a point today, now that I'm old, to not go along with the crowd. Is that when he started that? Look back at Numbers chapter 13 and 14. When he was chosen to be one of the spies that spied out the land, what did he and Caleb do? When he was much younger, what did he and Caleb do? He went against the crowd. He didn't go along with the other 10 spies. He had been doing that all his life. Yeah, he had been doing that all his life. And so now that he's older, it's not hard for him to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't hard for him in his older years to be in the minority because he had been doing that all his life, serving the Lord. And young people, you've got to do that right now or it's going to be hard to do that later in life. You see how things early in his life molded and made his character that he's now using in his older years. And so, yes, we are in the world, John 17:14 and verse 16, but we are not of the world. We're not going to go along. We're there, but we're not going to go along with that crowd. And Paul said, I'm not here to please men. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm not here to please men. And we're going to raise our children and our grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Marriage is on the decline and the home is broken and divorce rate is high and juvenile delinquency and people living with people and single parents and kids without moms and dads. There's all that going on. But we're going to be different. We're going to be, me and my household, we're going to be different. It's hard sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. But it can and must be done. Brethren, I hope that when we sing that song, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, that we see the full import of that. And oh, how we need leaders today and fighters today. And we need those today who will obey God's word. And it begins this evening by you coming and being baptized into Christ. And we need people today who will stand up and speak what needs to be said. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of times, brethren, you can be more effective in that than I can sometimes. Do you know that a lot of times when you say things to other individuals, that's more effective than the preacher? Well, here comes the preacher. Do you know that you can be very effective and often more effective than I am sometimes? Keep saying what needs to be said and do not go along with that crowd. What a great role model. What a great person to be thinking about in our society today. Let's all go out this week and dare to stand like Joshua. And if you need to begin that stand this evening by coming and putting Christ on in baptism, well, I want you to come as we stand and sing.